take our Bibles this evening, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, as we continue these messages through this book on last words, last days. This is our fifth message in this study. We're going to look at the first six verses of chapter 2 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Let's read that. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." This evening I want to consider this thought of keep it going. Keep it going. And explain that to you here in just a moment. But you might show your age by the way you answer this. But how many of you recognize this statement? Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, the human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports. Now, how many of you heard Jim McKay's voice announcing that? Yes. How many of you saw that skier falling off the cliff there? I always looked forward to that. I was just a baby when all that happened, by the way, all right? I was a wee little boy, and if you have no idea what we're talking about, that means you're young and we're old, all right? And if you've played sports much, you've probably experienced the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You've had the ups and downs of athletics. In my illustrious career, I've had the opportunity to get the game-winning hit. And I've also struck out to end the games before. I didn't throw a strikeout, I struck out, I swung and missed. And I've hit a game-winning shot in a basketball game, and I've also missed a game-winning shot. I've been the hero and the goat, I guess you'd say, sometimes. And so we've had our ups and downs in the world of sports. I was reading in preparation for this, I read about a relay race that took place at the college level. It was one of those where you run around the track and you'd hand the baton to the next person and then they would run around the track. And in this meet, this particular team was in the thick of the race. They were doing well. The first runner had set a good pace and was within the top two or three of the teams. And then the second guy did just as well, and so they're still right there. And the third guy got the baton, and he was one of their stronger runners, and about halfway through his part of the race, he just walked off the track and sat down in the infield. Well, his teammates thought surely he was injured and came running over to him and asked, "Did you pull a hamstring? Did you twist your ankle?" And he said, "No, I just didn't feel like running anymore." And they were irate with him. "We've practiced, we've trained, we've all put all this work in for this meet, and you just decide you don't feel like running anymore?" And he said, "Yeah, I just quit." And he was done. Now, he made a decision that he may have thought was his own personal decision, but it certainly affected his teammates, his coaches, and all that were involved in that particular team. Unfortunately today, we see that happening, not necessarily in the world of sports, but in the world of Christianity within the church. It just seems like, and to a degree, let me just put it this way. I don't want to excuse it, and I want to encourage us that we'll not be quitters, that we'll not walk off the race, but it is predicted in the scriptures that it will happen. In the last days, there will be a falling away. In the last days, there will be times of apostasy and doctrinal compromise. And so we see that happening, and it maybe would encourage us that we're getting closer to the Lord's return. But at the same thing, I want to encourage us to be faithful in our race. I want to encourage us to finish strong our race that the Lord has set before us. And so Paul often used athletics as a picture. In fact, in the verse we read, verse number 5 was a picture of athletics, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment here. And athletics is often used, as Paul would use it, as a picture of the Christian life. But chapter 2, verse 2 gives us a picture of what our race should look like. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible because I love the picture that it paints for us. Paul says to Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And here's the clear picture of verse number 2. What Paul had taught Timothy, Paul wanted Timothy to give that to somebody else. So if you can get the picture with me, Paul wanted Timothy to hand off, he handed him the baton, and he wanted Timothy to hand that baton to somebody else. And the goal is that guy would hand it to somebody else and hand it to somebody else, and that would continue on. And at the same time that baton is being passed, Paul's picked up another baton and is handing it off to somebody else, and Timothy's picked up his baton and is handing. It is a continual chain that is taking place there in 2 Timothy 2:2. Until the Lord returns, we want this continual action of investing in others, putting ourselves into somebody's life, committing what we've learned to them, and handing them this baton over and over and over again until the Lord brings us home, either through death or through His return. And that's the picture of the way the Christian life should be. But unfortunately, there are at times we have some racers that are just saying, "You know what? I'm tired of this," and they're walking off. Sometimes it's those that are in full-time ministry. In my 26 years of ministry, I have several peers and friends and people that they just quit. They've walked away, and it's not just they walked away from the ministry. Oftentimes, they walked away from the Lord and from church completely. Certainly, I've seen it within the congregation, within the body of Christ, just individuals that were once filling that spot in that row there and were active, involved, and they've just walked away. They've quit. And so tonight I want us to look at this passage of Scripture about keep it going. Keep that handing the baton off. Let's make sure that we're doing our part. And I'm going to give you three thoughts this evening. And I really want to start it off, though, under the umbrella of verse number 1. And then I'll give you those three thoughts. But verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Timothy was going to keep it going. He had to find his strength, not in himself, not in an individual, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our strength must come from. That's where we get our strength from in order to accomplish the things that I'm going to talk about this evening. And so Paul gives a picture of three individuals and really looks at the qualities and the characteristics of those individuals that would enable Timothy to keep it going and will enable us, if we'll follow these qualities, these characteristics of these individuals, to keep it going. So let's consider, first of all, in verse 3 and 4, let's talk about the soldier. The soldier found in verse 3 and verse 4. Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He brings up the soldier, again, one of the pictures that Paul has used frequently. He's used that Roman soldier as an example and as a picture of some type of quality and characteristic that he wants to get across to those that he's writing to. And he's using it here for Timothy. Now remember, Timothy is this young preacher boy, the protege of Paul's, the disciple of Paul, this one that he loved dearly. But we do learn about Timothy that he tended to be a little bit timid. He tended to have some insecurities and some weaknesses about him that Paul wanted to strengthen. And so he's giving him these thoughts here that he would continue on in this race, that he would continue to hand that baton off. And some of those qualities he wants to get is that of a soldier. And notice as he says here in verse 3 that to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Of course, a soldier is taught to undergo hardships, afflictions, and difficulties. Your training that many of you have received and had to put into practice, they put you through miserable things. They put you through difficult and trying things to prepare you for those worst case scenarios so that you could endure the hardness when it really mattered, that you could get through those things. We know that even in the Christian life, though, there are going to be difficult times. There are going to be hard times. There are going to have to be times that we must endure hardness as that good soldier would do. And so Timothy is encouraged to endure this hardness as the good soldier. Now, Paul's already told him back in chapter number 1 that he's to embrace the afflictions of the gospel. That he's to embrace those afflictions that will come by choosing to be a preacher of the gospel. And when you choose to be a Christian, no doubt there's going to come some conflict and there's going to come some difficulties in our lives. And we have to endure it. We have to be able to withstand it. We have to be able to maintain through those times. As I think back in my ministry life of 26 years and my Christian life, really almost all of my life, I have been a blessed man. I've not had a lot of major trials and difficulties, but I understand that they do come and that I could have some in the future that would be great trials. I've walked through some of those times with other individuals going through great difficulties, and to endure, to hang in there, to withstand it, to continue to be there is a great quality. And church, if we're going to keep that going, if you're not going to break that chain, if you're not going to break that time of there's not another baton being handed off, you're going to have to endure the hardness as a good soldier. Not only is he talking about enduring here, he talks about not entangling himself. In verse number 4, he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The ancient Roman soldier, while they were in service, were not permitted to involve themselves in outside activities. He was a soldier, and so he could not, whatever it would be, he could not be participating in another business venture. He couldn't have a farm on the side. He couldn't have a store on the side. He was a soldier. He could not entangle himself with the things of this life. And so to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, we have to be careful of what we allow into our lives that could entangle us. And you get the idea of tripping us up and wrapping us up and getting us bound down to things. And so as a soldier of Jesus Christ, if we're going to keep this going, we have to be careful not to get entangled in these things. So if you're going to keep that baton going, let's be the soldier that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to be. In verse number 5, he gives us our second individual, and that's the athlete. Verse 5 says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Paul speaks of two things here, striving for masteries. He's speaking of discipline. And then secondly, he says he also must strive lawfully, saying by doing it fairly or accurately or not cheating, following the rules. And so let's first of all consider this idea of keeping it going will require the discipline of an athlete in training. Whatever the sport is, to compete at the highest level doesn't happen on accident typically, does it? It requires extreme amounts of work and effort, practice, discipline, early mornings, late nights, of bringing the body under subjection. If they're going to be at the top of the level of their sport, they're going to have to put the practice in. I was watching a documentary several years ago, And I was about a basketball player on the streets of New York City or Chicago or something. He was a street player, a hustler. And they were talking about this guy as if he had the natural abilities to be an NBA player. He had the natural abilities to probably be a top 10 player in the NBA. But he didn't have the discipline to be one of those players. He had failed in high school. He had failed at college or a junior college level. And even though he had the natural abilities, he never took himself to that place. It was never recognized. The same documentary, they would talk about that at that time, the great players of the day, the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, those type of individuals. And even though they were the top players in the league, there was no one that worked harder than those guys. They practiced harder. They went longer. They continued to push themselves because they were trying to master and bring their body under the subjection, the discipline of the athlete. And so in order to become an Olympian or a professional player, there was great discipline involved for those athletes. And that same discipline can be brought across over into the life of the believer and the Christian. If we want to keep this going, we want to continue to hand that baton off to the next person and invest in that other person and continuing that, it's going to take discipline on our part. Now, let me just mention here that although the illustrations of sports is given here, and it appears that Paul was a fan of sports and is often used in his writings, I think it's important to remember there's something far more important than sports, isn't there? And it is this Christian life. There have been times in my life growing up, especially in my teen years and into my early college years, where I think I had it out of balance when it came to sports. I was all about sports and I enjoyed it. But I want to encourage you as parents that you would keep those things in order. You would put, with your children, you'd put the Lord first. We've made those decisions, difficult decisions in our days. Our boys had to miss ball games because of church. And I would put church well before that. There were times we've had to go and bring our boys out of a game early because we weren't going to miss church. I'd let them play right up to that time we needed to, but we were going to be at church. And so I'd encourage you to put sports in its proper place, but there's also much we can learn from sports. One of those things is discipline. And then the other idea here is that you would strive lawfully. Listen, there's no shortcuts when it comes to the Christian life. We can't. I was a cheater when it came to the training camp of soccer when I was in high school. I hated endurance running, and if my coach wasn't looking and we were running laps, I was cutting corners on that field. All right, I was doing 45 degree angles trying to get as little of that running in. But listen, that didn't help me in the long run, did it? It would come back at some point. And we certainly cannot take shortcuts in the world of, or in our ministries as well, in our service for the Lord. And so he speaks to us here about striving lawfully, correctly, doing things the way that they should be. If you're going to keep it going, you need to take the qualities and the characteristics of this soldier, the qualities and the characteristic of this disciplined and lawful athlete. And then he gives us here one final example in verse number 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Of course, the husbandman here is an old-fashioned word, an old English word for a farmer. If the farmer, he says here, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, I don't know how many of you here are into big-time gardening or have ever done any farm work. When we consider farming, I would really look at it as a big part of it would, you know, not necessarily be exciting work, and it's certainly tiresome work, hard work. I guess to the farmer that he may find that work exciting, but most of us would not. We would not long for that. When I pastored in Pennsylvania, we had some retired dairy farmers in our church. And they still had family members that participated or worked in that field. And they would talk to me about that schedule that they carried. Up every morning and milking the cows, and and out every evening milking the cows and everything in between that had to be done, and every day, twice a day, every day of the year. And I would think to myself, who in the world in their right mind would choose that line of living? But as they were talking to me about it, I'd see tears in their eyes as they missed it, as they longed for it. They wish they could still be out there and participating in that. And as we think about the work of a farmer, it's often not very exciting work, and it's often very tiresome work. But why do they do that? Because there is a harvest coming one day. They're looking forward to the harvest. They're looking forward to when they have those fruit of their labors come forth. And there are times in the work of the Lord that it's not real exciting sometimes. And it can be very tiresome. We can even feel like it's monotonous or we're not getting anywhere. But the Lord is looking for faithfulness. And if we will look forward to the harvest, it's well worth it. And so as the farmer would look for these things, and again, the Christian life is going to have seasons. Some of the most exciting times of my life have been through the ministry, and some of the most difficult or trying or tiresome times have been in the ministry. And so we must continue on as the farmer who is faithful, day after day, out there working, laboring, so that he could have that, be a partaker of the fruits that were to come. And so if we're going to keep it going, we must be faithful as the farmer. We must continue in this. The soldier, the athlete, the farmer. I'd encourage you this evening, listen, we need to keep this going. You need to be investing in somebody else. You need to be handing that baton that's been handed to you by someone. And you need to tell someone about what the Lord's done for you. You need to invest in that individual and hand that off to them and let them take that and say, hey, go find someone else that you can invest in. And then you pick up your baton again, and we keep doing this until the Lord returns. How are we going to do that? We need to be like the athlete. We need to be like the soldier, and we need to be like the farmer. We need to look at these qualities and these characteristics. So I'd encourage you to meditate and think upon these characteristics of these individuals. Let's make some application. Let's not be like that guy that just said, you know, I got tired of it and I just walked off. Let's not be that one that walks away. Let's not be part of that category that's part of that falling away. But let's be that faithful remnant that will continue on in this journey and this time that the Lord's given us until He returns for us or brings us home. Let us be faithful. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this evening? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The Lord has worked in your heart this evening. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to Him, either there at your pew or here at this altar. Lord, maybe have doing a work in your heart, and we want to ask you to be obedient to Him this evening. Father, we pray that you take this invitation tonight, God. Lord, as we've considered these three thoughts about the soldier and the athlete and the farmer, Lord, and Lord, that you would help us to be faithful, to continue to hand that baton off to the person, to another person, and to another person, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Lord, take this invitation now, Lord. Use it for your honor and for your glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the Lord's been working in your heart, as the piano plays, to respond to Him this evening.